This is Luscious Lou, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication, at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah, yeah, the Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 347. I'm your host, Josias, at For the Villain on Twitter, X, and Comic _ Syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Welcome to an all-new show. Let's hit it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. 100 episodes ago was recorded Thursday, February 14th, 2019. Fuck me, that's what, Valentine's Day, I believe. The Comic Syndicate, keeping it tight, is what it was named. This week, at For the Villain hits what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Rose bullet points and brings back an old topic, what the fuck news. Pennsylvania lawmakers want to tax violent video games. How do you guys feel about this? So I read an article. Then finally goes into comic talk, comic news, World War Z, Halloween sequel, Alien TV series, Disney possible R-rated films, which, I mean, technically now, a movie I'm going to talk about in a bit. I'll hit that briefly. Black Widow production, Avengers Endgame runtime, Aquaman the Trench spinoff, new Batman rule rumor, then finally Rock's comic reviews, Marvel Comics Man Without Fear number 4, Jed McKay was the writer, Paolo Villanelli was the artist, Andres Mosa was the inker, and Venom number 9. Book of the Week, Donny Cates was the writer of that one, Ryan Stegman was the artist, J.P. Mayer was the inker, and Andres Mosa was the colorist on that one as well. After that, I took a week off, and when I came back, I recorded episode 247.1, hashtag deep dives and rabbit holes cruise control was the name of that one, literally 6 days after the initial show. Deep dives and rabbit holes, episode 247, hashtag cruise control, the Comic Syndicate proudly presents another episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, where this week, RG Flores and At For the Villain continue the last hour of our nautical talk by diving into, is your cruise ship prepared for a terrorist attack? Jump in and let us know how you feel about this, about these statistics, facts, and our own personal thoughts on how well cruise ships can fend off pirates at sea. And does this hinder your own personal opinion about cruise ships? This one was fucking fun. I did all the homework on this one. I ended up in fucking places I should not have ended up with, literally. And if you guys have heard the past few podcasts, like when I talk about these 100 episodes ago, I put in the fucking work. I do the homework. I do the research. And this topic in particular put me down this weird site and website, a nautical site and submarine site, and I went down too many rabbit holes and ended up somewhere where, like, the government is watching you. You need to log off right now. I'm like, ooh, fuck me. Now, weird, yes, but is it a good story? Yes. I'm full of good stories without overreacting or over-dramatizing stories like people fucking do. This is going to be a fucking fun show, guys. If you guys are ever curious about these shows, I have a full catalog, a full library for a reason. It's because you guys keep fucking listening. You guys keep coming back and the numbers keep going up. Not for fucking me. Like, I don't listen to myself 75,000 fucking times, 70,000 times. Like, If anyone thinks that way of me, that's not fucking me. I do this for a reason. And I want to be as clear and concise and give you guys my thoughts, opinions about things that are interesting to me. I haven't recorded a deep dive in rabbit holes in a long time because I have not personally had the time to research anything. I have a book full of things that I need to research. As cheesy and lame, as cool, as productive as they can be, I just don't have the time. This one in particular, though, was good because I've never been on a cruise ship. I want to jump on a cruise ship. And I found so many statistics about deaths at sea and how people get thrown off or accidentally, quote unquote, thrown off. And the majority of the numbers that I recall were most of them were women having their husbands thrown off into the ocean. It was more statistically, I think it was like 30 to 70. 70 meaning women had their husbands thrown off into the fucking open ocean. If you guys don't believe me, this is my fucking goddamn life right now. And listen to that, because I had the fucking numbers there. And that is pretty much it. Hey, babe, do you want to go out on a fucking cruise ship? So, splash, there goes your dude. It was funny. Look, the way we look at it, the way I still look at these deep dives and rabbit holes, or they're always thought-provoking. I like doing research. A lot of people don't like doing research. I like to dig in deep. And I have, like I said, I have a lot more to research, but I just don't have the time. This one was cool. This one I remember completely. So now this one was particularly about pirate ships and getting attacked by pirates at sea, which honestly is a legit fucking thing that happens at sea. And the countermeasures that cruise ships have at their disposal to counteract any attack they're getting at the time. So I know exactly what happened. Okay, we're not going to go there. Listen to the archives, guys. If you guys liked the last one, the filler episode, which I think a lot of you guys have, Fell on Black Days. That was the filler episode when I took a vacation. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to hit it right now. This week in particular, I was thinking about putting another filler episode. Like, let's take a week off, Josias. Do you need a week off? Not necessarily. I had this whole episode written out last Sunday. Now I'm recording this particular episode 347, on April 27th, at 10 p.m. on the fucking dot right now. The game plan was like, okay, I never have it written out that far in advance ever. Like, it's unheard of when I do. And it's like, sweet, I get to enjoy the rest of the fucking work week. Like, of my week. Like, I get home from work and I get to hang out and spend time with the people I care about. It was written out completely 100% done Sunday night. And I'm like, okay, now I just got to figure out when am I going to find the time to record this episode. And then Monday night happened. And Monday night was, look, this has been a fucking fun week for me. Like, this is going to be a fun show. This is going to be a complete create your own fucking goddamn adventure show. Now, I have several routes I can go through this episode, and I kept thinking about it, like, okay, it's done, Josias, you did all the work, research, you're done, the show is done. And then one day to the next, Monday happens, and Monday fucking sucked. And then still figuring out, like, okay, well, I still gotta find time to record. And then yeah, I'm gonna be as candid as I always am with you guys. Monday happened, and it was a very interesting Monday night for me, and kind of took the wind out of my sails as far as, fuck, dude. Whatever you said last week was not bad and towards anyone, minus this saging bitch that thought she fucking knew me. Now, if anyone takes it out of context or dives deeper into that, last week's show wasn't the most popular popular show, and I'm not the most popular fucking guy. I'm a nerd. I'm a fucking dork. I'm the simple fucking dude. And my life has been interesting. So this is going to be, again, create your own fucking adventure. Your goddamn fucking adventure, if it fucking makes you feel any goddamn fucking better. Change the theme of the show. So by Tuesday, I'm like, and Tuesday happened. Well, let's talk about Tuesday real quick. So Monday hit the fan, and then Tuesday was Chris's, one of our workers at Red Robin, the cook's last days, and it's like, fuck it, let's take you out to the bar. So we took Chris out to the fucking bar, and had a great time. We closed out the fucking bar. A bunch of coworkers were there. They wanted to see Chris off, which is great. I wish more people would have shown up, but it was a school night, and those are my words, school night. Chris is like, do you want to go back to my fucking place? It's like, no, dude, I fucking shouldn't. I got to go back to the fucking office in the morning. Come on, let's go hang out. Fuck yeah, all right, Chris, let's do it, dude. I mean, we're not going to hang out as much anymore. We're not going to get to shoot the shit like this. So yeah, you know what, dude, for you, yeah, dude, let's rock and roll. So we had a great time hanging out with Chris at his house. The kicker to that is by the time I left his house, after a few shots, and I'm not normally, like, all night, like, I'm not that dude anymore. So hung out with fucking Chris, had a great time with fucking Chris, and, talking, chatting, fucking playing Scrabble galore, which is fucking lame, and, but I love fucking Scrabble. And, by the time I left his house, I go back to my car, and my car ate shit on me. So, sorry, Chris, sorry to bother you, dude. Do you have cables? Like, and no? Okay. Call AAA. AAA? Yeah. We'll be there in an hour. So by the time Chris and I take care of my car situation, by the time my car finally gets jumped proper, and it sucked. Someone was waking up early that morning, and it's like, I'm so sorry to bother you. Do you have jumper cables? And it was a female, and she looked at me like, are you fucking crazy? I'm like, I know, and I don't know, it's two dudes, and it's me, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, get out of here. I'm like, you know, I don't mean to scare anybody, which was the weird part of it, because Josias actually gives a shit. So funny, I'm like, no, dude, it's cool, dude, just get out of here. Vroom, and there she goes. So by the time I got jumped, I come back home. This is still Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning. By the time I get home after waiting and finally getting jumped and having my car problems finally fixed, I get home and jump into the house and jump into bed. And literally, I knew by that point, I'm like, oh, right, this is going to be one of those days, Josiah's. And by the time I get home, jump in bed, I'm like, you know, you're not going to get any sleep. Just lay down and just relax for as long as you can. And lay down, and 15 minutes later, my alarm goes off, and it's like, all right, let's hit everything now from the get-go. Like this is your fucking day now. I had to throw that out just to say and speak about how interesting my week has been. I got to hang out with Chris today, honestly. Chris invited me for lunch. It's like, yeah, dude, your last day was on Tuesday, Wednesday, so yeah, let's hang out there your night, and do you want to hang out? Yeah, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it. So technically, that is the weekend I've had, and that's not even talking about the most gnarly shit of my week yet. And I'm not going to hit that because this is choose your own goddamn fucking adventure. Now, I'm going to hit the usual suspects, Facebook, X, Twitter, love, shoutouts. This first one is going to be a huge and special shout-out to my boy, Sadie Morales. So any new listeners, any old listeners, you guys have heard that name before. Sadie is a great, not one of my best friends, but a great friend of mine. And he's been on the show many times before. When Adam and I used to host and co-host together, Sadie was our number one guy we would pull in to have on this show. Sadie is a fucking cool dude, down to earth, fucking cool cat, but doesn't know anything literally about pop culture the way Adam and I, especially the way I talk about it, the way we both literally talk about it. I'm going to bring him up for this particular and special reason. This shout out goes more so to his daughter, Jade Morales. So Sadie, again, has been on the times many, many times on the show before, and I've known him for a long time. He's a legit good dude, good man. I've always looked up to him. He graduated, I think, a year before me, and I used to wrestle with this dude. He was technically my coach, and he placed, I want to say, third in state. Sadie still listens, so sorry, man. I want to say you didn't place fifth in state. You placed third in state, right? I should know that off the top of my head. Anyways, Sadie was a great wrestler, and Sadie used to take the time to wrestle with everyone and helped us learn. Even though you were mediocre, you got better wrestling with a stud like this cat. And I'm going to go into the context of this just a little bit more. I want to piss some fucking people off. So Sadie was a great wrestler. Again, fifth or third in state. Sadie, I'm sorry again. I forget that. To put that into perspective, though, in California, because the state is so fucking huge, it's fucking tough as shit to even place, let alone make it into that tournament, the state tournament alone. So it goes back to his daughter, Jade Morales. His daughter, Jade, took completely after him. And this girl wanted to wrestle. And she was working out with her pops, and she started kicking ass. So 420 that weekend is when she won the California State Women's Wrestling Championship. So she's an All-American. She won the MVP of that tournament. She's the first women's champion in Santa Ana College history. So huge props to Jade Morales. And I just want to give them credit because I always look at life. Don't ever forget where you came from. And I'm proud of Santa Ana. Like, I grew up born and raised in Santa Ana. So even though I should be way more thuggish, even though I should be way more fucking hard, I know what fucking hard is. Like, I know what fucking hard is, dude. Especially growing up in fucking Santa Ana. But sometimes it takes things like this, sports, extracurricular activities to get out of gangs and get out of a bad place and learn something about yourself and do something counterproductive for yourself, something that's going to help mold you and become a better person. And I believe that if I didn't have wrestling in my life when I did, I would have ended up in a way worse place in life. And then again, going back to Sadie, we still talk to this day. And he still hits me up like, dude, when are you going to have me on your show again? And I'm like, you know, Adam's recording now. He's like, yeah, I don't like that show. Like, I miss doing the Comic Syndicate. I'm like, all right, dude, let's figure out a day, and I'll go to your pad. I'll take my equipment. We can record. Let's just shoot the shit. And let's just have fucking fun cutting it up. Sadie is a good dude. And the work ethic for me came from a lot of places, but learning what you get out of life, working hard, blood, sweat, and tears every fucking day doing a sport. First one in the wrestling room, last one out of the wrestling room, that drive. A lot of people don't fucking have, a lot of people don't know that fucking world, but that is what makes you fucking better. And again, Sadie was, third or fifth. Even to say, let's just say he was fifth in state. That means he's still the fifth best wrestler in California. And wrestling across the board states, Iowa, Idaho, Oklahoma, like great wrestlers, Pennsylvania, great wrestlers. Great, great wrestlers, great programs. But they're smaller states. And you don't know the number unless you know the numbers. And that was just a huge shout out to Sadie. I messaged him the other day, like, dude, I'm proud of you and your girl, dude. Like, you guys deserve it. I know he's a proud fucking dad, and he's not taking any of the credit for it at all. It's like his girl kicked ass. She's an All-American. She won MVP of that tournament, and she's the first women's state champion for Santa Ana College, and I'm so fucking proud of them. So yeah, that's the love I have to give. Just starting off now, we're gonna go back into the usual suspects. Eric Lopez hits me up. So heroin overdose with several laughing facing emojis. Here's your question of the week. What's the wildest shit you ever heard someone say about you? Well, Eric, I love that because fuck me. Right? Well, shit. Well, it's create your own fucking goddamn adventure week. So, Eric, I'll hit you up later on in the week. Lynn finally hits us up. She says, Jeez. I can't forget about you at all, Lynn. So, first of all, dude, so many thoughts and feedback about the show. I believe Lynn was on a binge show run. I think she listened to, like, the past episodes, five back-to-back-to-back-to-back shows, and these, I always have to nitpick, like, okay, dude, I love the feedback, but I have to cut out a lot of this. But she's jumping in and talking about every show. She says, Alex, the color commentary on the show with his comedic input. This is all Lynn saying. Josias cannot juggle chainsaws. Never seen him juggle chainsaws. And the lady sager, ha ha ha. I have had an aggressive hairdresser before, but she was amazing. I went to her for years and years, but lost her in the divorce. LOL. This is all Lynn saying this. That story was hilarious. I didn't know there was an Unforgiven 3 either. Are we talking Metallica? Never knew. So yes, Lynn, I hope you listen to those. I'm going to listen to all three. OMG, I'm a one-upper. It is not intentional. When someone shares what's going on, I do share because I can relate to what you're going through. People always take it the wrong way. Lynn, they always take it the wrong way because you're a fucking dick. Because you are a one-upper. And I know it was a weird show that someone like any of you guys can realize off of the shit I'm saying, like, oh shit, I'm a one-upper. I'm not a one-upper. Everyone tries to one-up me, which is fucking hysterical, which is fine, like, but no one really looks at it that way. And I'm sorry, Lynn, but I'm glad you realize, like, you are a one-upper, because when I went to the show, when I saw Chevelle last week and they gave me props, you gave me your boyfriend, what's his name, fucking Post Malone, giving you just a heart. I got a thank you. You didn't get a thank you. You just got a heart. That's like, his media manager was just hearting everything everyone fucking said. So technically, you can one up yourself, dude. Sorry, that's a bad joke. But you are a dick because you're a one-upper. So Lynn, sorry, just kidding again. Great to hear all the feedback. I'm glad you listened to all the shows back to back to back to back to back. And I'm sorry for that because I know I sounded terrible. Next one's going to be Alex Thorne. Josias, how does it feel being a dead man? Tell that man to get a refund for saging, because how is that shit legit if you ain't dead? Do you want me to write you a joke eulogy? You know what, Alex? I love you. So, you know what? I want you, Alex. Andrew, I want Eric, I want Lynn, I want Loopy, I want fucking all you guys to write eulogies for me. Like, please do it, because it was fucking funny. And yeah, please do that. Next one, is this still Alex? Sorry, dude. On the topic of the house fire, I'm sorry that happened to you, especially with the dogs. I'm shocked you still have that one picture I drew of you. Do you still have the Brian one? Yes, of course I do. And then Alex informed me that last week's show, I have three episodes up. The same show went up at the same time. Now, it was weird. I was hoping that would not have happened, but it did. So once I was done recording, just to give you guys some, you know, I'm going to pull back the curtains, because again, create your own fucking adventure and let's piss some fucking people off just by talking. So the way I normally do things is I record everything on my laptop, and everything's connected right now. Once I'm done, I edit, what I need to edit, or edit out, do all the editing process. And I know there's another show that we're going to go into several places, create your own adventure. And anyways, my process is once I'm done recording, uploaded MP3 file, send that to my Dropbox on my laptop. From there, I will pull up my phone, pull up my podcast hosting site, which is Podbean, and then pull up my file from Dropbox, download it to my phone, and then upload it to my phone. Like, it's a process. I can do it from my laptop, but because the process has been so, I don't want to say painstakingly. Guys and everyone, my laptop is getting old. You guys don't know how much work I have in my laptop. It's not a music laptop. I don't have any music in here. I don't have any pictures in this. Maybe a few videos of me mountain bike riding is the most extent I have in my laptop. I don't have any games. I don't have music. I don't have anything. This is all Josias's work. This is all the podcasts. This is all the writings. This is all the scripts I've written. These are all the short stories I've written. This is everything. And I'm running out of fucking space. Like, how many people can say that about their laptop? Like, they work that much where they're like, my laptop, I'm fucking beating the shit out of. And it's telling me, hey, Dick, like, I'm a computer and I can't hold all the information you want is essentially what it is. So hard drives and pulling information, USB cables, everything to pull information so I don't have to rely on my laptop as much anymore. Anyways, so that's why I could easily, I guess, upload the podcast straight up to my laptop, but too much information is getting pulled to that. So the best way to do it is to drop it off in my Dropbox, on my phone, pull it up. All right, let's fucking download it and upload it that way. That particular day, I normally have to use my Wi-Fi in my apartment to have the run speed run so much quicker so it can upload quicker. Because if there's any lapse in time, I've noticed it won't upload at all. And it'll take a shit on me, which it did. So the first time I uploaded it was no Wi-Fi. And then I'm like, fuck, why is it taking so fucking long to upload? I'm like, fuck, it didn't go through. And then it gave me the shoot down message like, this did not upload properly. I forget what it says. And I'm like, okay, let's upload. Let's try this again. And then once I opened the Wi-Fi, I'm like, fuck, I still didn't put up the Wi-Fi. And I'm like, exit. Like, okay, let's kill this. So that's the second one. And on top of that, I'm glad I exited it because the third time I'm like, fuck, I never even put up the cover art, the picture art for what I wanted to put out for that show. And I was able to do that. And that was the third one. Although the first one told me, fuck you, they didn't upload. Second one, I canceled and also said, fuck you, it didn't upload. And then the third one, realizing, okay, I got to put on my fucking Wi-Fi on. And that's when it finally uploaded. And I'm like, okay, cool. First two thought nothing about. And so if anyone noticed or did not notice that, I'm completely cool with it. Just kind of fucking weird and kind of cool at the same time. I did not mean to do that and I hate doing that. But yeah. So now that you guys are caught up, I'm very much thinking, should this show be a two-parter? Josiah's take another fucking week off because you got a lot of fucking things to think about in your life right now. Or do you just want to hit it and fucking hit it hard? And I really want to fucking hit it fucking hard. So you know what? We're going to wing it, dude. I'm going to continue on. We're not even done with fucking shout-outs and bullet points yet. Now, what went down this weekend? Well, last Saturday, for 20, Summer Movie Draft 2024 happened. So, friends of the show, and, just friends in general. Honestly, these people are friends. Alan, Anton, Carl, Gianna, Roslyn, and myself. We do a summer movie, draft every year. Carl, myself, Anton, and Alan are huge movie guys, we're movie people, but not just movies. We talk about film and art style and directors and producers and breaking down movies proper. So, Charlie, you would love this. And Alex, I don't know how your extent, but like we can talk fucking movies. I never needed to take a movie film class, although Anton did. So we talk film a lot. So we've been doing this summer movie draft league for the past fucking 10 years, I want to say. I think this might be our 11th year. I've won 5 of those. I want to say 6 of those. Okay, look, I'm the best champion ever. Now I sound like fucking the T-word guy. But yeah, I've won this every year. The best way to break this down is I'm into sports. If you know fantasy football, fantasy sports, fantasy baseball, fantasy hockey, fantasy any sport, essential thing. The breakdown for this one is we each buy in X amount of money. So $25, each of us. There's 6 of us playing. Every year we put in $25. And off of this $25, Alan puts together, compiles a list of all the summer movie released movies for that year. And we literally pull out each movie one by one. And then it becomes an auction. Off of the $25 we put in, it gives you 100 credits, we'll call it. Like, we're not gambling at all. We're not doing anything crazy. We're not doing anything crazy. And once each movie comes out, one by one, all right, now this movie got popped up. And then we start betting on the movies. And that's what it is. And we bet on these movies hard or low. And the best way to look at it is, okay, the breakdown off of that is you make money, or the way you win this movie draft is any movie you purchase off of your credits, quote unquote, the first 30 days domestic it makes movie money, domestic only, not international. It has to be domestic. And the first 30 days of a theatrical run is going to go into your pot. So whichever movies you pick up, it goes into your pot. And whoever has the most money, theatrical runs for 30 days for each of their movies compiled together at the end of the summer wins the pot, and you are the summer movie draft champion. I've won this 5 fucking times. I think I'm going to win this one. But you guys let me know what you think. Again, I'm a movie guy. And I'm going to talk about movies that are going to fucking piss people off. And I'm going to talk fucking movies right now. There's one particular movie that I recorded an episode about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, where I was not distracted, but just fucking pissed as fucking shit. And I was destroying someone because it's someone that I think needed help and was asking for help and wanted to share stories and like, oh, can you help me out? Like, the podcasting world, yes. It's very cool and very funny now looking back at it. And when people disagree with you, it is fucking hysterical. And Adam, I love you. Ben, I don't know you, I love you. I lost a lot of respect for one of your boys. And I'm not even talking about you guys right now. But talking about another podcast that I give a lot of credit to. People don't like hearing that movie looks like it's gonna suck. And then it's a female getting pissed off. Like, really? And going off, it's like, dude, if you don't agree with me, I do a summer movie draft every fucking year. Like, number one, would you pay for any of these fucking movies? Like, I'm gonna get there when I get there, and it's gonna make sense. So, again, Alan, Anton, Carl, Gianna, Rosin, and myself are in this. Which movies would you guys pay to see? This is going to be a long show. I might break this up into a two-parter show. And I might break it up right about now. Sorry, guys. Just had to give myself some time in there to figure out how I want to break up the show, if it's going to happen. Okay, so summer movie draft. First boy, Alan. His movies are Dragon Keeper, It Ends With Us, Twisters, Trap, which is an M. Night Shyamalan movie coming back again, and If. Now, I want to watch If, and for some reason, Twisters, I grew up in fucking the 80s and 90s when Twister came out. What do you guys watch that? Anton picked up Borderlands, Wildcat, the Garfield movie. This next movie he picked up, I would definitely pay to watch opening weekend. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And Maxine. Next one, Carl picked up June Zero. No. Harold and the Purple Crayon, would I watch? No. The next movie he picked up, Inside Out 2. I would watch Inside Out 2, not opening weekend. Not another church movie. Lost Souls and, I'm sorry, The Bike Riders, which I'm not a biker, dude. I'm going to wait for that one. And he picked up The Crow. Now, The Crow. I forget how much he bet on that. And let's say he put five credits into it just to pick it up for domestically. It has to make at least $5 million. It's going to make over $5 million for sure. He overpaid for that movie. That's the movie I'm talking about. So this show in particular today, episode 347, I was thinking about like the last time I fucking went didn't go crazy at all. It was just fucking attacking, like, who the fuck do you think you are? Everything is fucking subjective. And who the fuck do you think you are to get upset with me for the way I feel about the trailer for this remake of this fucking movie? Even though I'm a huge fan of the original, and we're going back and forth. And she got pissed. And we haven't spoken since. And even trying to break it down to her, like, okay, yeah, okay. I love Skarsgård. Don't get me wrong. I love the dude. He's a great actor, but it's complete opposite movie of what we saw. Like, first of all, he's not goth at all. He's not a punker. Even though he's not a goth rock guy anymore, they can make him into a punk rocker guy. No, let's just incarcerate the dude and like throw him in jail so he's just a fuck up to begin with. Eric Draven is a fuck up like that. Get the fuck out of here. You throw away some good material and give something like this out. That doesn't look interesting to me at all. I'm like, would you pay for it opening weekend? Of course I would pay for it opening weekend, is what girl said. I don't even have a girl anymore. I got fucking chewed out last week. My friend, the girl that I was talking to The Crow with, got offended by this. And like, you don't know movies. You don't know what you're talking about. Dude, we're talking about fucking movies. You ask me how I feel about this. Like, I was stoked about this remake. It was supposed to be fucking Homeboy. So many fucking dudes. It was supposed to be Joseph Gordon-Levitt was supposed to be on board a long time ago. It was supposed to be fucking Aquaman. What's his name? Jason Momoa a long time ago. He was the last person that was supposed to be fucking Eric fucking Draven. And let's not have it be Eric Draven anymore. So if people don't know movies, and if people don't understand writers, artists, directors, producers, even production companies that, okay, this is a shitty production company. This is not going to work. This is what I love about doing this. Everything is fucking subjective. Like, I still have to laugh that people still get offended because, dude, we can talk about this. And I know I haven't given fucking feedback yet because I'm not even fucking there yet on the comics and Third Diaz boys. Because I love those guys. People don't understand subjective. Look up the goddamn fucking word. Subjective means everyone has their opinions. Everyone can say what they want, but everyone has their ideas and opinions about it. It's okay. It doesn't mean it's the 100% end all be all. Like, this is what's fucking funny about it. I want to attack one person from that show so fucking bad. And I think I did a good fucking job. And I'm too into what I'm doing right now. And I love you guys. Adam, I love you. I'm going to fucking cut Homeboy's fucking legs off, dude. It's nice he fucking took his ball and ran home. And it's a good thing girl took her fucking balloon and ran home too. Because everything is subjective. Just because you and I don't agree on something, and this is talking to you guys, listeners, audience. Rainbow Bright was the best character of girls' history. That's fine. That's subjective. I can say Care Bears is the best fucking toy. And guess what? It's subjective because we're both right and we're both wrong. That's the word people do not fucking understand. Guess what? It's fucking subjective. And I, Alex, when you asked, what did you say? Dude, that's that one. That's the show where I'm just destroying and just destroying. This show in particular is not that at all. But that's the movie. It's like, would any of you guys pay for any of these movies? So that was Carl. Those are his choices. His daughter, Gianna, isn't it? Bad Boys 4 is going to drop. Fly Me to the Moon, she picked up. This one I would watch opening weekend. A Quiet Place, day one. I love those movies. John Krasinski is writer and director and of those, which I really dig on. And she picked up Ghostlight. Don't know what the fuck most of those are. Man, in Bad Boys 2, how does Will Smith feel in your guys' mouths right now? Like, I'm more of a fucking homeboy, Jamie Foxx. The other, homeboy that got slapped. Anyways, okay, that was her picks. My picks were, and I would pay for this opening weekend, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I scored the least amount of movies. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, I picked up. Despicable Me 4. I picked up. Illumination puts out fucking all the Despicable Me's. They're huge Illumination projects and animated and with Groot and all the Groots. And they're huge. They're huge fucking money makers for Universal. And with kids, they're popular. And if you're old school like me, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Old school. I'm very old school. I grew up with my pops who showed me these movies, so I have an affinity and affection for these. Or is this one going to do good? Probably not. Which movie would you guys go watch? And then the last one I picked up was The Strangers Chapter 1. Let me look at my fucking time right here. Alright, cool. So far looking good. And here I thought I was wasting time the whole fucking time, and I thought I should break this down into fucking two shows. Let's hit it, dude. Do I want to talk about, since I went to Riverside County to go to Carl's house, do I want to talk about Girl? It's Riverside County, guys. Do I want to hit this? Okay. So, before movie draft, I pick up beer and stop by this the gas station. I go in, and I'm not looking sharp at all. Like, I'm just in, like, a t-shirt and a hat and my glasses. And I walk out, and a girl says, are you going to take me? I'm like, I'm sorry. You're going to take me with you? I'm like, where? You're going to take me with you, right? I'm like, oh my God, no. Now, she would have been a beautiful girl if she wasn't so drugged up. And there's no way in hell Josias would ever pick any random stranger up off of, number one, Riverside County. Orange County, maybe. I was on the road today, and some youngster girls, at least 21, 22, were driving a killer fucking Mustang. And before we jumped on the freeway, I tried to be a nice guy and say, hey, dude, your emergency lights are on. And these, you know what, fuck it. These bitches, these broads thought I was flirting with them, like, hey, like, waving my hands, like, hey, dude, you're fucking... No, bitch, your emergency lights are fucking on. And I'm like, you know, put on the music louder. Like, yeah, fucking waving their hands. Like, all right, bitches, fuck it. I hope you get, bitches get pulled over. I learned today, actually, fuck me, probably last week, stop being fucking nice because you're going to get fucked over. Yeah, it's fucking funny, dude. Like I said, create your own adventure. All right, this was a long first portion of the show. I'm not going to break it up into two shows. It's going to be the longest show you guys have heard in a long time. At least 120 minutes. And this is going to be question of the week. And it's fucked up. Not based on anything I read this week. And I've been sitting on this question. This is question of the week now. It's going to sound fucked up. But now if you can... If you can fight the most athletic version of yourself, who would win? And you know, it's LOL, and I kind of chuckled about that one as I wrote it. There are three versions of Josias. There is old school wrestling Josias. There is fuck the world Josias. that has nothing to lose. And then you have Josias right now, current. My audience, you guys, are about my ages. The demographic, honestly, is 30 to 40, 25. Well, Alex is, what, 21 now? So he puts up the demographic, the average, about to 24. Everyone is my age or within my age bracket. And Lynn, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, the demographic is literally, I'll say honestly, demographic has to be at least 28 to 45, 48 at least. So 20-year bracket. Now, if that's the question I'm asking. Out of every point of our lives, every part of life you've been in, which part of you, if you had to fight your best person right now, who would fucking win? Well, I have an interesting answer for you guys, and it's going to make a lot of sense. But give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, welcome to some comic talk. All right, this one's going to be interesting. I'm going to hit it. Ben Affleck's Daredevil movie gets Disney Plus premiere date. I'm a huge Daredevil fan. This doesn't mean anything to any of you guys. And then the next one after that, Deadpool and Wolverine movie reportedly plans to air censored PSA tied to Avengers Secret Wars in theaters ahead of the movie's debut. I'm a nerd for this shit. Like, I keep looking over news, and it's like, fuck, the fuck? Like, is there anything I want to fucking pull? Really tough to fucking pull anything like that. I just thought I'd fill you guys in. I have about 15 minutes to kill. I can go, like, 5 hours long. And I'm going to try to kill this one as best as I can. The first ones I read were Image Comics' Kill Your Darlings, number 6 through number 8. I didn't realize it was going to be a short fucking run. And I hope these kids, they are fucking kids. I hope they learn how to write proper. And Alex, I'm sorry, dude. I hope they learn how to write proper. And I have not had enough time to read your stuff, dude. Especially the chaotic world I live in right now. But I haven't had time to do anything besides, like, Anyways, Kill Your Darlings, number 6 to number 8. Ethan S. Parker and Griffin Sheridan are the story writers. Robert Quinn is the artist. John J. Hill is the letterist and designer. This one starts off in 1977. Starts off with a mother and her child playing in the yard with whom I assume we get a grandmother, mother watching over them. And as the pages and panels progress, we see the mother dead now with her face almost torn off. Then we get inner monologue from the old lady now talking about how many lives she's taken. And the stories, the breakdown of this old lady talking about how many lives she's taken is fucking terrible. Even though it's hard to see these scenes because it's her family she's fucking killing throughout the years, is nuts. And then we see this old lady perform a ritual out in the woods, and then it finally goes back to home, like what's going on right now. And her old dead body now is on the porch of her house, where she was watching the kid, her daughter and her granddaughter play, and it's just fucked up. And so now we see this dream state together. So now the whole story is Rose is the main character, which we think is the main character of the whole story, creating a dream world like kids do, an imaginary world where everything is okay, everything is fine. And her mom was a part of a witch sanctuary, and the one witch that survived, and Rose's mom survived as well, made Rose's life a hell because she was able to create this dreamland for herself. And it's a great story. And Rose was able to create this dream world with her stuffed animals, her toys that she's playing with to protect herself from the bad things she's going through in her life. But once she gets pulled into this dream state, she realizes, like, her stuffed animals are alive. And we're able to play and, like, dude, Rose, you created this world. Like, we need your help. We need you. When you were fighting as a kid, pretending you were a fighting princess, we need you to help us lead us out of here. Was dope. And I don't want to ruin this fucking story. I really enjoyed it. Rose realizing that she screwed, like, her mom, because, okay, Rose's mom was pregnant with Rose and hit some kid, and the kid she hit when Rose's mom was pregnant, I know it's going to sound fucked up, but this is literally what the review I dropped a few months ago. And I'm just giving you guys a little bit of context in case you guys haven't listened to it. The old lady, the old grandmother of the kid that got hit by the car, Rose's mom, as she's pregnant, she's in the instance where it's like, fuck, I'm about to give birth right now, or I can save this kid. Now, that's a fucked up scenario in anyone's part. So the way it was written and the way it's drawn, I fucking love. And the world of this dream world, I fucking love, because it's, the art's amazing. The colors are gorgeous, and the scary is scary. And I mean, it's scary because it's haunting, because, like I said last week, people that aren't willing to open those doors. I know everyone likes to lock away those hidden compartments. No, I like opening those fucking doors, and I like figuring out, like, okay, what the fuck am I scared of? Like, why? This story gives you a lot of context of why Rose is the way she is, and why she's broken, and this old lady, like, you ran over my grandson, so I'm a witch, and I have to fucking kill you, and I must murder you. And that's the counteractive between both of these. This young girl that doesn't realize, like, I'm sorry my mom ran you over when she was pregnant with me, but, I'm sorry, I don't know, I hope you guys didn't hear that, I also know what you're going through. Like, I created a world, and once the witch realizes, like, shit, this is what you did, this is what you created by yourself, who the fuck helped you out with this? I created it by myself. It's like, no, I must take it over. So it was really good. The context of the story is pretty much that. Good versus evil. And very much the forgiving aspect of it, which I didn't realize. I thought this was going to be an ongoing series. I really enjoyed the art. My two boys on the Comics and Third DS podcast never talk about this. I kept telling them, like, dude, can you guys read this? They don't want to. Which is fine. The next few, and those are Image comics. If you guys like good art, a horror story to a certain extent would be that one. The art is good, and when the killings are killings, and when they start chopping shit off and destroying, massacring small animals, even though they are just toy animals, like stuffed animals, in this world, they're real. And to see the massacre of these these animals still fucking sucks. And it's like, fuck, dude, I feel so bad for these. You can't call them people, but you still have, if you have a heart, you understand, like, fuck, dude, this is a massacre. And it fucking sucks. I really enjoyed it. The end game of that story, I really enjoy. I don't want to spoil that again because that was the end of that story. I would love these kids. They have to be like 25, 26 now. At least writers going through the whole process of writing a comic book and the first act, second act, and looking at the comic book pages and like, okay, once you turn the next page, or I need a splash page right here of someone fighting someone and someone interacting with someone, is different than a normal writing project. Like, yes, we all have been given in our lives and in our worlds, write me a story or a project about X topic. That's fine. Now creative writing gives you the leeway to like, okay, now you can fucking cross the boundaries. Now you get to create. Teachers that tell you those things are the best teachers you're going to have, because you're not limited. Once you know you're limited, of course, know the boundaries of writing, but then writing a script. Trust me, I'm a nerd. Writing a script, writing proper, writing for scenes, writing for everything, writing for a commercial, doing those stupid things that aren't even stupid at all. Like, go ahead and do it. Is very cool. So, I know, I fucking went off right there. That was, again, an Image Comics. That's going to be Kill Your Darlings, number 6 through number 8. And number 8 was great. They were good. Number 7 was great, too. This is going to be fucking just me ripping hard now. Marvel Comics, Fall of the House of X, number 2. Gary Duggan is the writer. Lucas Warnick is the... and Jethro Morales are the artists. Brian Valenza is the colorist. VC's Travis Lanham is the letterer. Okay. So the X-Men. Let's just talk about the X-Men right now because I'm a huge X-Men guy. The X-Men have been fucked for the longest fucking time. Everyone is dead, mutant-wise, that they really, the heavy gunners, like, they've lost a lot of mutants. And now it's Wolverine, everyone, like, the remaining survivors of the X-Men, the big powerhouses, are fucked. They're hiding. They've been hiding because technology, AI, everyone, people, humans are against them and have been against them for the longest time and have been attacking them for the longest time since the, since the Hellfire Gala and massacred. And it fucking sucks to see it on comic book form because, I mean, I love the X-Men for this reason, because they do get persecuted. They do get ostracized. They get fucking banished because they're fucking different. Because ideologies, religions, faith, because you're different, nationalities, we hate you, is a fucking thing. I grew up learning about this because not learning about racism in the world, but learning about racism on a different level because reading comics and reading the X-Men, like, people shouldn't treat people like that. Like, reading it at 13 years old, in the X-Men comic book, where it's like, why would they treat them differently? Like, Rogue just saved everyone right now, and everyone thinks she's an asshole. Like, Wolverine just saved a fucking 4-year-old fucking kid. Why do they think he's a fucking killer? Like, he just saved those things. Just because you're different, everyone wants to form opinion or hate on you. Which, this is why I love the X-Men. So now these guys are all fucking, their backs have been up against the rope for the longest fucking time. Polaris now is pissed off, going to work, using the head of a dead celestial to attack Orcus. So Orcus is the program, the human program. I mean, this is the human program using everything they can to make the world hate mutants. Just because you're Mexican, you're fucking Chinese, you're Asian, we hate you. Like, the amount of racism still in the fucking world, and I can laugh about this, is still fucking pathetic to me. The fact that, fuck, when is anyone going to fucking realize, like, it's okay? Like, it's okay. Like, if you want to... I love these characters. So Polaris pops out. And this is a suicide mission now. Like, the X-Men, the remaining ones, are fucked. It's like, we have to make our move now. Right now. Everyone. So they have teams all across, sprawled all across the world. Like, all right, you guys go in there, we're going to go in here. And this one where they happen to jump in, this is Polaris. This is Magneto's daughter just going to work. And she brings an army of the fucking Brood. And as that happens, this is where Wolverine, Colossus, and even Nightcrawler pop in. Like, all right, we're going to take you guys fucking out. And they see Polaris like, fuck, you brought the Brood. This is going to sound terrible. But even the Brood are... The best way to look at the Brood are alien creatures. Like, look at them like aliens. The movie Aliens. Like, we've had problems with them in the past. Yes, but they're under Brood's control. And once Wolverine hears this, he's like, fuck, Brood's in control? It's like, yeah. It's like, I love Brood, dude. If he backs this up, if it's his call, I trust him. So Brew is a smart little child. Child Brood creature, but can speak the language. And he got banished by his own kind because he's different, because he can actually talk English. he can speak Earth world language. And smart kid. And even he's ostracized. So the thing about... I always love about these stories with the X-Men is, like, we accept everyone. Like, it's just dope. And these guys are getting their asses fucking kicked. Wolverine, Colossus, and Nightcrawler do not trust the situation they're in at all. And they're like, alright, fuck it, let's go to work. And they are willing to fucking die and go to work as far as fuck these assholes. They killed our friends. They killed our family. They massacred everyone. So yeah, you know what? Fuck these motherfuckers. And all the X-Men now are not just fighting not to kill people, just to kill fucking people. Because if you're different, if you're a different nationality, their number one reason is to fucking kill people. No, fuck you. You massacred our fucking people, and you want to wipe us out again. And it's these motherfuckers that are fighting the Orcus army, letting them know, like, all right, fuck it, dude, you guys want to wipe us out? Well, let me knock on your door now and fuck you. Very much fuck you. So that was very fucking cool. Issue number 3 of this one, Juggernaut is now trying to save the last of Krakoa, which is a very much Groot-like looking creature. And then Cyclops is finally escaping this Orcus prison he's been in since the Hellfire Gala. He's escaping now with one of the doctors, and where they quickly meet up Ileana Rasputin. So magic, I love Ileana, magic. And this is the point where the doctor finally asks Cyclops, you've been able to get away this whole time, haven't you? And he's like, I could have gotten away at any time. I just needed information. And then it's cool. Like, Cyclops has been getting his ass kicked the whole fucking time. He went on trial. He got fucking persecuted. Like, he got fucked. Like, he wasn't trying to be a martyr. It was just him, like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on so I can help my friends. That's what it is. Beautiful fucking story, the way it's written. I'm not going to go through everything. But I really dug on that one. That was The Fall of X, House of X, number 3. House of X, number 4 is now, starts off with Apocalypse Now. His army of mutants from Arako. And I know if you guys don't read, if you guys don't understand, that that's fine. I'm just trying to give you guys some context. So once all the mutants got together, like, let's start a sanctuary so we can all be safe and we don't have to worry about the bullshit of the fucking world. All the villains also came together. So Magneto, Apocalypse, and Magneto has been a good guy for the longest fucking time. I'll say anti-hero. But you got a bunch of villains finally jumping in to help out the cause of mutants, of being different. Like, well, we can start our own nation. Like, we don't have to worry the world with our burden. Like, we don't have to do this. And that's what they decided to do until the world, the Earth, finally found reasons. Like, nah, fuck these guys. We still don't like them. Like, no matter what you do, people are still not going to like you, and they're going to talk shit, and they're going to do those things. And I always, again, love the world of these X-Men, their worlds. And so now it's pretty much just the team, different teams of X-Men fighting across the world, fighting Orcus to kind of gain their freedom. And that's what it is. Them accepting everyone and still trying to protect as many people, human beings, as they can, and them still getting hated on is a beautiful story, and it's been a great story since I've been reading them since I was a kid. They're going to get their asses kicked. Like, they're fucked. All their backs are against the wall, and I'm always for the dude who has nothing to fucking lose. Like, it sucks. I'm very curious to see where this ends. We're gonna, summer, gonna get a new team of X-Men. We don't know. Well, we kind of know what that team looks like. Rogue's gonna lead, it looks like the old blue team, not the gold team from the 90s. If you guys know those words, you guys are fucking studs. Anyways, last one's gonna be Marvel Comics, Wolverine number 46 through 48. Wolverine now. So Sabretooth. Sabretooth War is insane. Sabretooth caught Wolverine and used Quentin Quire, who is a huge, powerful telepath. Even though Sabretooth fucking cut off the kid's body, powerful telepath, he's able to keep his head, his mind state, his cerebral mind in this weird box, and he's able to control the fucking kid. Powerful telepath, and he uses it to almost lobotomize Wolverine and get into his head way deeper than anyone has. Like, all right, man, we're on a mission right now. All right, sweet, where are we going? Just like the good old days. All right, sweet, so what are we going to do? And this is Wolverine and Sabretooth in our monologue. I'm going to give you just the context. I'm not going to fucking read everything for you because this is the longest story ever. Is them going through a mission for Sabretooth to find a particular weapon. And Wolverine is on board because he's now being seduced mentally. She's as or Quentin Quire is as powerful as Xavier and Jean Grey. So he's able to control Wolverine. And even though this kid, young kid, 19 years old, dead, but his head mind state is still alive, is able to control Wolverine. And the kid is being controlled by Sabretooth. Like, dude, if I pull this latch, you're fucking done. There's no way you're coming back. And that's the fucking threat. We see how big of a threat Sabretooth is. I need to find this weapon. And the only way we can do it is Wolverine's going to be the bulletproof guard. So he's going to fucking die right now. Once I get this weapon, I'm good to go. So using Wolverine as a bulletproof fucking vest. And the conversations between Sabretooth and Wolverine is fucked up. like they came from two different worlds. Sabretooth came from a world of, and I don't know that world. Thank God. I don't know that world of being as a fucking kid, getting just badmouthed as a kid that way. And Wolverine's world, I do know, which sucks, is you went through a lot of hurt and a lot of fucking pain, and you did feel love in your life. And even though you'd feel love in your life, you lost a lot of love in your life, and relationship-wise, and even friends, and your healing factor, you don't age as quickly as your friends and your family. So even though it was 30 years you spent with a lady, it didn't feel like that long to you. You haven't aged, and you were a monster a long fucking time ago, and now you're better. And Sabretooth and Wolverine's versions of their lives are fucking completely fucking different. I love the yin and yang between it. So once they go in and find this weapon that Sabretooth is looking for, as soon as they find it, there's a scrap, and Sabretooth gets it, shoots Wolverine with it. He's like, this is what I want. This is the depowering weapon that Forge made. He's a mutant. If you guys are watching the, oh my God, please watch the X-Men 97. But besides that, Sabretooth shoots him with it. The depowering weapon. He's like, fuck. You know how long I've been waiting for this? Like, you make my life fun. But now you have no healing factor. Now I'm going to fucking kill you, and I don't have to worry about you anymore. So sadistic, so dark, so twisted, and it's great. And all these scenes are fantastic and great, and all these pages. I haven't read in a while. I've been gone for a while. Not gone for... Look. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Let's hit it one more time real quick. I even sound fucking like a dick for saying this. But, question of the week. If you guys can fight any version of your fucking self right now, which one would it be? There are three versions of Josias, and I haven't done the whole piece out and then give you guys context, make you guys listen for like a minute of dead air. If you can fight any version of yourself, which one would it be? There are three versions of Josias. The number one would be the pure, good-hearted version of Josias, hard work, wrestler, like straight-up fucking wrestler, good, badass motherfucker that kid was. Technique-wise, just stud. Number two version would be not the one that worked out as much, but was still fucking good, but was very self-destructive and hated himself and hated his world and hated his life and his road back then. And then the third version, honestly, is the version that I am now. And I'm old. I'm old. I can still go when go needs to happen. Like, I will still fight for my friends, my family, anyone I care about. Which one would win in a fight? Let's talk about me versus young Josias first. So, athletic, stud. Josias, like athletically stud. If I were to fight that kid, Josias, right now, to fight that kid, I would win. Like right now, old Josias would win. Like he would gas me out because he's ran thousands of miles, way more than I've ran in the past fucking 7 years, honestly. 4 or 5 years. COVID, we'll say 6 years, which is still fucking rough. He would smoke me cardio-wise. He would smoke me. He would gas me out. But I think I can fucking talk to the kid back then and be like, hey, dude, I don't want to fucking hurt you. Like, we can talk about this. The second version is the one I'm still worried about. And I'm not worried about. That's the one that I confront a lot. And not a lot. I know it sounds bad. But this is question of the week. Which one of your versions would you fight? And if you're older, no offense to you, Alex, and no offense to you, anyone else that listens that is younger than me. Alex, you should hopefully learn from this too. And Charlie, I don't think she listens, dude, but I hope you guys listen. There's you guys at your age. You guys don't know. The second version of Josias was very destructive and self-destructive and hated being around, and hated being around people. He was a people person, but just he was an animal and terrible. If I were to fight that version, if I were to fight young version Josias, version one, which is the wrestler straight out of fucking high school, like a good fucking hearted kid, I would win by talking to the fucking dude. I would have to fight him, but I would let him know, like, dude, it's okay. I'm still scared as fuck of the version of Josias where you hated the world so much. Like, you hated yourself. You hated your life. You never cared about anything. You just wanted to fucking hurt and hurt fucking people. That one would be the version that it would make me, as a man right now, like, reach into dark fucking places, like, what the fuck do I have to do to stop you? Like, what the fuck do I have to do to stop you? Is kind of terrifying looking at it now, in a weird way. But, homeboy would have kicked my fucking ass. Like, there's no way around it that version of me would destroy me right now as an old man now. So we're talking about 17 years old, 18 years old. I graduated when I was 17. When I turned bad was 23, and now I'm 43. So 23 to about 28, just bad. I love all these versions of Josias. I can look back, like, I appreciate and love and hate each version of those men. Like, I love the fuck out of young Josias. The broken, I wish that version had more friends and more compassion and more people to talk to. I wish that motherfucker would have reached out more. The version I am now, shit. Still pissing people off, obviously. I'm happy. Well, fuck. You know what? Fuck it, as happy can be. I know what I've learned. I know what I've gained. I know what I've lost. And I'm still fucking losing. And I'm completely fucking cool with losing now. First version of Josias was the purest form of the best dude ever. The broken Josias was very much fuck you and fuck everyone, and I don't give a fuck. This one right now, Jesus fucking Christ, I hate this bullshit. I hate being proper and fucking nice, and I'm missing that middle ground fucking Josias now in my world, where it's like, fuck, you don't even fucking know. It wasn't a fuck up at all. It was just, I lost so much, or very much fuck the world. I don't miss that aspect of that version. I just miss the whole, you know what, fuck the world. Like, fuck everyone. Like, do what you do. Don't hurt anyone. Like, if, again, that's what the beautiful thing right now is. Now I know what I've been through in the past, and I can take everything I've learned in the past and everything I've learned up till now and still learn from those mistakes and keep on building and learning and hopefully help people out, which honestly, fucking nobody wants to fucking help me fucking more. I keep laughing about this shit. So yeah. All right, guys. If you guys can fight the best version of yourselves, which one would you want to fight? Across the fucking board, which fucking version of you would you want to fucking fight? I don't care how old you are. If you want to fucking fight 5-year-old you, I would love to go back to 5-year-old me and just give that fat fucking kid that has no worries in life a hug and let him know, dude, you're gonna end up fine. Would be cool as shit to me. When that 5-year-old turns into a 12-year-old and still is a pudgy fat fucking kid and looks dorky and never thinks he's going to find anything in life, a girlfriend, a friend, and just is alone, I would love to shake that kid's hand and give him a hug and tell him, dude, you're going to be fine, kid. Don't worry. And yeah, all those versions, I would love to tell each one, give them a hug and let them know they're going to be okay. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I'll catch you next week. Peace out.